Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
Welcome to Bites Behind the Media, quick hits of some of the stories pinging on our radar. This podcast first is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery, a built-in front pocket, or a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. Okay, Jimmy, we have a bunch of stuff here that we want to rattle through very briefly, but interestingly, if that's such a thing. Briefly,
sure.
And interestingly. So we talked about Bitcoins way back at the beginning of our podcast. I think we had an interview with someone about this whole Bitcoin kind of thing in journalism. Well, now it seems as if, I mean, the Bitcoin prices, I don't know if you follow them, but, you know, they've been sinking.
What league are they in?
They're in the league of public trust of the
media.
All
right, fair enough. All
right. Down by, you know, 60%.
Yeah.
But apparently some organizations out there, some companies still see value in a Bitcoin kind of currency.
Okay.
Yes. Do you think it's far-fetched? It's not, they should stay away from it?
I haven't heard a lot of stability about Bitcoin.
Yeah. But maybe I'm wondering if it's the fact that you didn't have the right people behind it. So in this particular case, the world's biggest internet messaging companies, such as Facebook, Telegram, and Signal, are all trying to succeed in this area of cryptocurrency. There have been a number of ones out there that have failed, and now they're trying to come up with their own version of it. So the most anticipated, according to this article, but secretive project is underway at Facebook. The company's working on a coin that users of WhatsApp, which Facebook owns, could send to friends and family instantly. So they're working within an existing structure to have their form of cryptocurrency. So you're on WhatsApp, you can send this crypto around, buy things, pay for things. Sounds interesting. I mean, I do think, I don't like to be one of those people when something new comes along, everybody jumps on it, then it implodes, to say, there was nothing there. Sometimes there's nothing there because it was just too soon or it wasn't the right there, right? And now you have Facebook, which, you know, they've been able to make a lot of things happen.
And dance around a lot of things, too.
They
Facebook
have been
does,
able to dance
and,
around.
And they
exactly.
have very deep pockets for those fines that they've had to
yes,
deal with
they
over
do.
The last few years.
Yes, they did. But that's an interesting. We'll be watching that to see. I remember when Facebook Live ended up being just, it wasn't even something that they had really planned out. It was just kind of something that happened. And then when they realized it was sticking, then they, you know, went all in on it. So it's possible that something like this could succeed. So we'll be watching.
Okay. Do I have to go be a Bitcoin collector now?
Yeah, you probably should. They call me Crypto Dan.
Crypto Dan, okay.
YouTube has banned the comments on miner videos. Now, we talked about this in a podcast last week about how these perverts out there were finding and tagging video of young girls doing gymnastics and then commenting perverted things in the comment section of those videos, and these things were going viral and seen by millions of people within that underground community, if you will.
And an overground community too.
Yeah, overground. So YouTube, there was a backlash against YouTube. There were advertisers who were pulling out saying, you know, we can't have our ads showing up in these perverted veins, if you will.
Right.
So what they've done is they've just stripped out the comment section on videos that have minors in them.
Right. And that is a good move.
Yeah.
And probably should have been done a while ago. I saw the new CEO of YouTube on the Today Show this morning. And
on this issue?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I mean, look, by the way, didn't even know that there was a CEO of YouTube because, as you know, it's very difficult to get a hold of YouTube. Have you ever tried to call YouTube?
I have not.
It does not exist.
No, I try not to call YouTube, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to put a face to a brand, a social media brand, is refreshing. I mean,
right.
You know whose face is on Facebook.
Right.
But it's nice to have an actual face that you can attribute to YouTube.
Yeah, and you know whose face is on this podcast. You know, it's I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
Exactly. Now, YouTube,
again,
which is part...
We don't have a face on our logo, though. It's just a microphone.
Right, but we do have faces. Yes, we're not faceless. YouTube, which is part of Google, said that they will use software. They'll be using software in order to identify minors in videos. So that'll be interesting. And this isn't something that's just going to happen overnight. Apparently, there's new rules. Will take several months before it's fully implemented.
Yeah.
So,
we'll and I think that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
I personally, I think, you know, I have a new website, so I don't, I've turned off comments. I don't want to hear from comments. I'd like people to email them so I can know who they are. Otherwise, it's all that anonymous stuff, you know, they hide behind the little nickname thing.
Yeah, that it's, you know, on the one hand, you want people to have a discussion and a dialogue. I think the best way to do it is have someone who's the comment police. But then you, if you're going to let people do it, then you got to let them do it. You can't be going in there and saying, oh, I don't like this comment and take it out.
So, I do. Well, I'm not going to agree with you.
I mean, if you go crazy.
Well, think about all the comments that follow up any kind of an article in a major newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes just read the comments, and some of them are disturbing, and some of them are completely blacked out.
Right, right.
So they are being curated before they're being released.
Right.
You submit your comment, it gets read, and then
they post it. Yeah, right. Yeah, you have to. But the thing is that people don't always want to comment on ones where you don't comment and it shows up right away. These, they comment, they go into a holding pattern until someone approves the comment. So that's
right.
A different kind. So some people right. don't like the comment. Anyway, so we move on. Have you ever wondered whether it is you should be when or how often you should be shutting down your computer?
You know, I wonder about that every time I put it to sleep.
Yeah, me too. What about you, Stephen?
I just put it to sleep, and I don't really think of, like, should I put it on or not.
Okay. I usually put it to sleep instead of turning it down. And the reason I do
turning it... Turning it off.
Turning it off.
Right.
The reason I do the sleep thing is because it is easier. Once you come back, you log in, and it's there. You don't have to wait for the whole reboot thing, and... It's not as if we have to wait 12 hours or anything. I mean, you look back to the old days of going online, you had to, and then it wouldn't have, but we've become spoiled.
Humans become spoiled?
So the question
by technology?
Is there one that's better than the other? I mean, should you be powering down, or should you be putting something to sleep?
I'm not going to say right now, but I'm big on the powering down thing because
mm-hmm.
going to sleep could be permanent at my age.
So from a in terms of how much electricity it uses, apparently in sleep mode, your computer may use a little bit more juice than – so if you're looking
juice from powering it up.
Right, right. Sleep mode, again, will boot your computer back up within a few seconds of moving the mouse, but it takes a few minutes to come out of hibernation. When shutting down your laptop fully means your computer is totally powered off and uses almost no power. And so I don't know that – it doesn't come away with sort of a definitive answer here. It isn't as if you're going to harm your computer – and one of the things that in this article it pointed out is that when you think about what experts used to suggest back in the day when computers first came out, we have different kinds of computers now, and they're pointing out here that modern computers don't really draw that much power. So, you know, while shutting it down takes more of your time, especially if you just shut it down for to go to the bathroom and you power it back up again, it's not really going to burn more power than it did just because the computers are better in this area. So I think, you know, it's a wonderful and, you know, are you going to save money, not save money? I think it's inconsequential. Again, I'm not an expert on this, but I think from a convenience standpoint, I like the putting to sleep rather than the shutting down. That's just my
thing. I'm going to prefer to be shut down at some point.
Yeah, I think.
Well, and you could put me to sleep on the way.
Yeah, well, you know what? Usually the shutting down, I think, works for me best. Whenever there's a problem, you reset. That's when I shut it down. So I have to have a problem. Or if I'm going away for a long period of time. I'm not sure what difference that makes. I just have gotten into this thing. If I'm going away for a long period of time, I'll completely shut down my computer.
Right.
If not.
Well, if you travel, I think a lot of people who travel will power it up because they want to save their battery. Every little ounce of energy in that battery they'd like to save.
Exactly.
But You know, okay. These days, you can power up right on the plane.
You can power up right on the plane. Okay. Teenagers fact-checking online, social media, and so forth. We like that, right?
I like the fact that you found this story, too. Yeah. I was amazed that this actually exists, that teenagers are out there fact-checking as opposed to making up stuff as they go along, which is really what being a teenager is all about.
Well, this is all part of the MediaWise initiative at the Poynter Institute, and it just dovetails with what we've been talking about in terms of media literacy and helping young people understand the difference between fact and fiction. And so these young people, as part of this program and this class, some 18 young people who have been essentially scouring anything. It doesn't have to be hard news facts, but it may be something as if saying, you know, some celebrity gave away, you know, $10,000 of a gift of something to some organization. And it could be fiction or it could be fact. And they check this stuff out to kind of help young people understand that just because it's out there, just because it's stated as such, doesn't mean that it's true. And so I think even if it's just kind of part of an exercise, I think it's wonderful that this is being done, right? I mean, there's only one way that as adults you're going to learn how to, you know, sift through all of this garbage that's out there and understand the truth and get at the truth. So if you start learning about the process at this age, we're all better for it. Don't you think?
If you say so, I'm all for that too, Dan.
Well, you know, Jimmy, you have always been on board with media literacy and getting young people
100%.
To it. So I think it's a real great endeavor.
Anytime young people will take initiative to make change in the world, I respect. And I've always said if you give a kid an opportunity, they'll blow you away with their ability and talent.
And we are not kids, but we're still working to change the world.
Yes.
And we do it with this podcast. So thanks for listening and enjoying this podcast. We know you did because we always do. Like it, share it, keep listening on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. For our director, Steve Helmuth, I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
And now you know what's behind the media.